This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's August 26th, episode 1243, brought to you by our listeners, the auditors. Thank you, guys. Good morning, horse world.
Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Wednesday.
That's right, it's hump day with your Horses in the Morning hosts, Jamie, that girl Jennings, and Glenn, the geeky pony guy. Wednesday, I
can't sleep. Well, thank you for joining us, everybody, on Horses in the Morning. It's good to be back live and have it actually working. We apologize for Monday, but we got a show out. It was a fun show anyway, but boy, it feels different, doesn't it, Jamie? It just feels different when we're live.
Yeah, it feels like we're cheating.
Yeah, it does. It does, kind of, because we start and stop and all that
cut.
Stuff.
What? Cut? What's that mean?
Yeah, you haven't done too many shows where we've had cuts over the last 5 years.
All the guests. Wait, huh?
Yeah. They aren't just waiting for us magically?
They're not just awkwardly being thrust into the phone with us?
Hey, oh man, there was a story that was out of New York yesterday, and I thought it just made me laugh. A New York City woman is suing the New York Police Department after a police horse allegedly bit her finger. That's right, she got her finger bit, and apparently her name is Pernilla. First of all, that's the first problem. And then Pernilla Eckberg, and she and a friend saw the mounted police horse and asked if she could pet it. Well, when she went to pet the animal's nose, apparently the horse bit her finger. And she is now suing the police department and for the bit finger. I want to know who we can sue when our horses bite our finger. Who can we sue?
I mean, did it bite her finger off?
It doesn't even say how hard it bit her finger. But even if it bit it off, what are you going to get? I mean, even if you needed to go to a doctor, which I doubt this lady did, what is she going to get? It's just ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I always say? Like, does he bite? I'm like, well, probably bite you if you stick your fingers in his mouth. So exactly. It's probably what happened here.
Exactly. But I want to know who we can sue. You know, when Scooter bites my finger, I need to know who to go to.
You just go straight to Scooter. You sue his ass. I mean, go for it. See how much you get. Probably as much as Pernilla here is going to get.
Okay, Pernilla was the first problem. So yeah. Anyway, that was my, I just read that before we went on the air and I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me?
That's amazing. Amazing.
We have a lot of news today. You know, it's either feast or famine for us. We either have a lot of great news or none. Today,
I have tons. I'm sitting on so many news stories, it's not even funny. So go to Jennifer, find out what's on today's show, and then let's get started because I've got a lot to talk about.
She's itching. Okay. Go ahead, Jennifer. Jennifer's still got her coffee.
I'm here.
From a cold. So.
I'm
you sound great. Yeah. You sound wonderful, you. Jennifer. Lovely to hear your voice this morning. Please tell us what's on today's show. Be very careful. Don't stress yourself.
On today's Crappy List Wednesday edition, we're going to have headlines like crazy, as Glenn just demonstrated, including the Horse Health Report, because we've got part two of the headlines from this year's Equine Science Society Symposium. Say that three times fast. And we're also going to do a list or two, or three or four. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. It is Daily Whinny time. Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to Byroni? I'm butchering your name and I apologize. Byroni Epstein, who won the 2015 Mongol Derby. She's 22 years old out of South Africa, and you'll be happy to know that she is an eventer. And she's lovely. I was actually speaking to her on Facebook today because we have a tradition here of getting the winners of the Mongol Derby on. This actually happened a couple weeks ago, but it got lost in our shuffle and vacation and all of that stuff. But she's a chemical engineer, an inventor, and show jumper. And this was her dream of a lifetime to go there and do this ride. And she had a great time. She rode a total of 27 different horses. And she made it. Well, she'll tell us about it when she comes on in a couple of weeks. We have her lined up. But we had to wait a couple of weeks because she's not out of China yet. She doesn't leave China until the 2nd.
Wow. So
she's still there. I don't know why, but she's still there. And I'm looking forward to speaking with her. And she's excited to be coming on the show. So we'll talk to her then.
I love this quote. I am thankful to the 27 horses I had the privilege to ride, even the ones that would stop and not move 20 kilometers before the next checkpoint. Because these are like basically wild horses.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. Now, she did end up, and all the articles I read talked about the last horse she had. And apparently, she took a chance. She headed out before, out of the last checkpoint, when everybody else was calling it a night, she headed out. And the last horse apparently was an excellent one. So I can't wait to hear all about that. And I'm sure she fell off a time or two. They all do. But the weather apparently was incredible. They went from snow to like 120 degrees in the desert.
Oh,
so
my God.
They had all, just, I can't even imagine this race. You know,
I can't imagine being this being your life dream.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I just really want to torture myself and make myself exhausted and spend all my money and hate my life. Like, this is great. I'm dying to do that.
They are a different breed that we just can't understand. I appreciate it, but I can't understand it.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys, this is unreal. This is unreal. I'm going to play for you. If you were under rock, like on Facebook, they've talked about this a ton, but there's a lot of our listeners that don't follow horse racing like I do. Well, if you remember, Rachel Alexandra has two foals. And of course, I don't even know if they'll ever breed her again because she really had a tough time foaling. They probably will now, though, because if you guys remember a couple weeks ago, Rachel's Valentina went. That's her second foal, went out to her debut horse race and won. And her first foal, Jess's Dream, a colt, this is the son of Curlin and Rachel Alexandra. So like the first time that two horse of the years have ever been mated, and this is the foal of those two. And Curlin and Rachel Alexandra, their first foal, went in their first race on the 24th, so on Monday at Saratoga. And we're going to listen to how it went. Jess's Dream.
They're off. Jess's Dream was a step slow to start. It's All Rise on the inside, and Prodigal is sent along, and Prodigal's going to grab the lead. All Rise goes with Prodigal early in the race to the first turn, and then it's Charm Securities to the outside, followed by Captain Tim. Gadrivi is next, and Jess's Dream is slow to get going. Jess's Dream has dropped well off the pace here as the field makes their way to the back stretch, and it is All Rise in front. All Rise and Jose Lezcano on the lead after a sharp opening quarter mile in 23 seconds flat. Very fast pace here. Prodigal is running in second, a length and a half off of All Rise, then Securitiz. Charm on the inside. Captain Tim is racing 5 lengths off the lead. Then it's a Gadrivi and a good 12-length gap back to Jess's Dream, who's well behind early on here as they continue through a 47 and 4.5 mile.
So far last.
On top by a length over Prodigal. Securitiz.
He's not even on the screen.
Charm on the inside. Captain Tim still about 4.5 lengths behind. And then Gadrivi. Jess's Dream hasn't got going yet. Still well behind the field as they make their way around the far turn.
I thought he dropped out.
All Rise and Prodigal. Securitiz to the outside of them. 2.5 lengths to Charm. And then it's Captain Tim followed by Gadrivi and Jess's Dream. 3/4 went in 1:11 and 4. And they make their way toward the top of the stretch. And Securitiz goes up to grab the lead. All Rise cuts the corner, tries to fight back. And then comes Captain Tim to the outside. Jess's Dream, who is so far behind, is trying to make a late run on the far outside, and he's closing the gap. It's Secura Tiz, All Rise. Jess's Dream on the far outside is coming. Jess's Dream from dead last. Is he going to get up? Jess's Dream is a reality. Oh, he did it. Way to go, Curlin and Rachel. And then it was Secura Tiz and Good Dreamy.
It was ridiculous. He was not even in the race. He was like, I think somebody said he was like 80 lengths off the leader at one point. And he came back and made the run. As if that's not Zenyatta-like, which is, this is Rachel's babe. That's not Zenyatta-like. I don't know what is. It was unreal. The fact that he just kept running and running and getting closer and closer to the front. If you haven't seen this race, you need to watch it because it's just unbelievable. So,
and he did congratulations. He did the whole final turn from the outside, too. It was not like he was on the inside. He was on the outside.
No, like 10 links from the rail. I mean, like 10 spaces from the rail. He went a lot farther than he was. And this is a really long race for a mile and an eighth for the all maidens, but
I tried watching it back to see what caused him to finally get motivated, because obviously he was taking a stroll in the park, for the first part, and I just you couldn't get a good enough view because he was so far back you couldn't see him. So
you couldn't see him. the whole thing. It's like, can y'all just give me a wide shot here so I can see how far back he is? You couldn't even see him in the actual video because he was so far back. I mean, it was crazy. So very exciting race. Jess's Dream, Rachel Alexandra. Rachel's Valentina. Two first foals both won their first starts. That's really crazy. Like, that's ridiculous. So I hope the same thing goes for his iconic Cosmic One, of course. Zenyatta's first baby has had a couple starts. He's not quite figured things out yet, but he'll get there.
I thought maybe he was a slow learner. And, he got three quarters of the way through the race and said, they're all up there. So maybe that's where I should be.
Or he was like, I'm so much faster than everybody. I'm just going to enjoy this.
Back
what's going on? Oh, crap. There's
rabbit.
A finish line.
Squirrel.
Squirrel. Exactly. Exactly. So it was very exciting. If you haven't seen it, go watch. And speaking of horse racing, our boy Wise Dan is back in action. They actually are planning on him running at the Woodbine Mile in Canada on September 13th.
Oh, wow.
He's back. He did a 5-furlong work yesterday. And what's called the bullet work is all the horses that get timed that day, he beat them all at that distance. All the horses that are scheduled to run that distance for clockwork and everything, because they have to time them every now and then to set the odds on him. It's very confusing, but he was the fastest of the day by several seconds.
Well, this is a good thing because Woodbine has just signed up with us to do another series behind.
Oh, really?
And so we should have an interview right before that race with somebody from Woodbine.
Oh my gosh. So, I wonder if it's just going to be crazy up there with his comeback. I mean, because if you guys remember, Wise Dan, 2 years ago, had colic surgery. And then last year had a non-displaced fracture of the cannon bone to his right front fetlock. He is a gelding. He's 8 years old. He proved that he is one over $7 million. He owes nothing to anybody, but he really enjoys his job, apparently. And they just keep well, he wants to be here. We'll just run him. And he's happiest at home. He lives at Keeneland.
He's one of those horses that every time you say he's going to run again, I'm going isn't he 30 years old? We've been hearing the name for so long.
He's eight, but we've been following him for so long. He's won over 30 races. He's amazing. And so what they want to do is they want to run him in the Woodbine. He's won the past 2 years when he was in running form. And then they want to run him. I think this Breeders' Cup Classic, this Breeders' Cup is going to be amazing. At Keeneland, they want to run him in the Breeders' Cup Mile. And I can't imagine they wouldn't retire him after that. But he's already won that race twice. But it's going to be at Keeneland, his home track. I mean, come on, Wise Dan. You can do it.
Well, we will we will also be watching a race going on this weekend. We got so much racing news here today. But before we talk about American Pharoah making his run this weekend and has some competition in this race, we got to talk about something cool that Jamie texted me last night because she was so excited. And I have a rack here in the studio where I keep all of the press passes I've had for all the different events I've gone to in the lanyards. So they're all hanging up here, and there must be 30 or 40 of them on there. And, you know, Rolexes and World Equestrian Games and just all the different press passes we've had for every different event. And so, apparently, I'm not the only one. I've talked to other journalists that they do that also. That's kind of their souvenir of the events. Well, Jamie was telling us on Monday that she got a press pass for a track. And tell us what you got.
Yeah, well, American Pharoah has been living at Del Mar, and my husband gave me a trip for our 5-year anniversary to go to Del Mar for a weekend. And the first weekend we were able to go was this coming weekend. And oh my God, like, hello, that's where American Pharoah is living, is Del Mar. So I sent him, I'm like, hey, I need a press pass. So I get a press pass, like, no problem. They send it, they will send it right on out. And I get this thing. It's like the fanciest. Usually it's a piece of cardboard with your name in Sharpie. This thing is like a digitized life card. And they took our logo of Horses in the Morning and put it on one side. They took a photo. They Googled me, I guess, and took a photo. Do you know that photo is from the radio station 99X that I worked for like 10 years ago?
Do you know that's the photo? I just noticed this the other day. I need to update it. Our hosts page on Horses in the Morning.
That's the
photo that you gave me when we first started. I think I don't can update
you,
that now.
Don't you dare update that. I look great in that picture. I have no wrinkles. I haven't lived in Arizona
at
all.
You were like, 22 when that was taken?
I mean, come on. So, yeah, don't update that.
Yeah,
I like
but now
it.
When it's being used actually as an ID photo, people are going to go, they're going to look at it, and they're going to look at you, and then they're going to look back, and they go, is that her?
You watch your mouth.
It was a really the nicest press pass we've ever had for anything we've ever done.
It's really cool. I was very excited. So I have the press pass. And as you guys know,
post it on Horses in the Morning so everybody can see it.
As you guys know, if you could also please just because you're making me feel good, because as you guys know, I went there to go see American Pharoah. And guess what? He just got in a plane yesterday to go to New York.
Yeah, you kind of missed that one.
I kind of missed him, but he's going to be at, I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. He's going to be at the Travers this coming week. This Saturday is the Travers Stakes, and the horses that are running in this, you'll recognize some of the names. I won't name them all, but Upstart, American Pharoah is in the post position number 2. Number 3 is Mid Ocean. Number 4 spot is Texas Red.
Hey, number Texas Red. We had their owner on. Yeah.
He's back. And then number 5 is Fermento. And the 6th spot is Frosted. 7 is Keen Ice. 8 is Tale of Verve. 9 is King of New York. And 10 is Smart Transition. So it's
all names from the Triple Crown this year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a tough race. So he's got his work cut out for him. I still think he can beat any of them. But currently in the odds, he's at 1-5. So you got to spend some money to make any money. Frosted is in 2nd. And then the 3rd choice right now is Texas Red.
You know, Texas Red was a horse that we had kept our eyes on before the Kentucky Derby. And then he got hurt and wasn't able to compete. When did he come back? It was just a couple months ago. He came back into our.
He's only run one race back, I think.
Yeah, did he win? I don't remember. Second.
Okay. But he's coming off an injury. So, hey, I have serious breaking news. Do you want some serious breaking news right now?
Oh, this is like serious.
Like,
well, why not?
Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? It does relate a little bit to American Pharoah, because American Pharoah's jockey, of course, Victor Espinoza. I gotta find the date for this. Hold on. Victor Espinoza is currently. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
He is going to be on the next episode, next season of Dancing with the Stars. Victor Espinosa is on Dancing with the Stars.
Now, usually they are on there with professional dancers that are about 6 feet tall. So
yeah,
they're going to have to look around for somebody. That's
I can't even imagine who he's going to get as a dance partner. Because all these girls wear heels and they're all super tall. And I mean, it's a serious competition. How's he going to still race? I mean, is he taking time off racing? I guess, you know, when you're famous for a little bit, you got to milk it. He's been on Jimmy Fallon so many times, and he's just so funny, and he kind of is up for anything. Oh, my gosh, he's on Dancing with the Stars. So I'm looking for when the season first starts, but I don't – was this news to you? Had you seen this?
No, I had not seen that. I had not seen that.
Yeah, unbelievable. He's the second star that has been announced to be he's the second reveal. The full cast will be revealed on September 2nd on Good Morning America.
Now, you used to watch that religiously, but then you got away from it, didn't you?
Well, my mom watches it. And the only way that I could talk to my mother was to watch it. That's what she wants to talk about. Now, I did get her hooked on The Voice, so I quit watching DWTS. but yeah, I just got a message from Uta. She's like, I hope he doesn't get hurt, because a lot of people get injured on Dancing with the Stars. But I think those
people. Wouldn't that be ironic?
Yeah. Don't get hurt doing that. But I think the people that get hurt on Dancing with the Stars are the ones that are super unfit. Like, they are not used to doing athletic stuff for lengthy periods of time. And I don't think anybody's in better shape than him. So go Victor. We all of us have a reason to watch Dancing with the Stars now. It's going to be so crazy.
Well, do you want to switch gears from racing news, or do you have more?
That's not really racing gear. I mean, that's not racing news. That's just exciting news. I do have a story about Zayat Stables and our dear friends over at New Vocations.
Yeah.
New Vocations, of course, the racehorse adoption place that we've highlighted a horse of a month of theirs for quite some time. Well, Zayat Stables continually retires horses to New Vocations. And
you forgot to say our good friends at Zayat Stables.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Justin, our friend of the show.
Yes.
Friend of the show. They retire horses, and they do the Breeders' Cup pledge, where owners and trainers opt to pledge a percentage of their championship earnings to this aftercare program, to the New Vocations. So it's something that people do, but this year Zayat Stables is taking it a step further. They pledged a percentage of American Pharoah's earnings leading up to and including. So they're like, no, we're going to give even more. So because of American Pharoah, lots of X-race horses are getting the money that they need to be rehabbed and retrained and everything. So congrats, friend of the show, Zayat.
Very good. Cool. So that's very cool. You know, I think more and more are doing that, and it's what's really going to help. It is still money that helps, right? I mean, that's the thing that's needed. And, you know, because these organizations are just full up, and they can't take any more unless they either have funding or they get adopted out. So good. It's good to see the industry. You know, if he's doing that, it might lead others to do that as well.
I hope so.
And I hope we also see it over on the Standardbred side, because it really is needed over there. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we'll switch gears here a little bit and head off to dressage world. And this was a story out of Horse and Hound. And this is a story of a dressage pony that just will not quit. Scrumpy, yep, the name is Scrumpy, is an 11.2 hand Exmoor pony cross. And Scrumpy just got an 81.67 in a lower level dressage test over there.
Wow.
And just won another competition at the Aintree Equestrian Center on Sunday in a novice unaffiliated class with a rider that's 15 years old and just getting into dressage. Why does this make the news?
Because its name is Scrumpy?
Partly because his name is Scrumpy, and partly because this 12.2 hand Exmoor Pony Cross is 37 years old.
Wow. Wow.
37 years old, and they said in the article that you cannot put Scrumpy in a stall. He'll tear it apart. Scrumpy likes to be outside. Scrumpy likes to work. Scrumpy doesn't like to have time off. Scrumpy gets grouchy, so apparently Scrumpy is still as sprite as ever. The judge thought that Scrumpy was 4. They talked to the judge after, and the judge said, I thought it was like 4 years old. So, and Scrumpy looks really good, actually.
I need a picture of Scrumpy.
Yeah, Jennifer, there's a link in our show notes. Jennifer can post a link on our Facebook page. It's just a great article and a really, really cute white pony. So, go Scrumpy. 37. You know, we had two ponies that lived into their 40s, but they were not doing, you know, dressage tests and getting 81s at age 37.
Wow. That's
pretty cool.
That's amazing.
It's the little ponies that live that long, too. The little feisty ones.
And yeah, it's usually the mean ones.
Yeah.
They just won't die.
Exactly.
I think my Shetland pony was like 38 when he died. It's crazy.
And it's not like they're grumpy enough when they're younger. They just keep getting grumpier when they're older.
Yeah. But, I've been misunderstood for 37
years. Nobody gets me. So good job, Scrumpy.
Congrats, that's Scrumpy. Cool. That's wonderful.
Well, we have a health report for you today from Dr. Cubitt. Do you want to head off for that?
I can do, if we want to put that on time, I've got another news story
great.
For
yeah.
you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got two, actually, and these are ridiculous. So there was the Duke of Wellington. You remember the Duke of Wellington? He had a celebrated horse named Copenhagen. And Copenhagen was the horse that carried him continuously for 17 hours and finished the 1815 Battle of Waterloo. It was world-changing battle, 1815 Battle of Waterloo. It was a liver chestnut stallion, carried him continuously for 17 hours. He had ridden the horse in many battles leading up to the Battle of Waterloo. And he was retired on the Dukes of Wellington's Hampshire property, dying at the age of 28 in 1836. He was like an off-the-track racehorse. He was an Anglo-Arab. He had had a racing career. He served in Spain during the Peninsular War. This horse was ridiculous. It's like the male version of Reckless, okay? Like, as far as a riding horse goes. The Duke rode him in so many battles. And anyway, so the horse died on his property. He retired. He has got a marbled headstone that marks his grave. Well, one of the offspring, great-great-great-great-granddaughter, was going through some papers in the castle, and it was found to be a handwritten note from the Duke and a giant lock of hair from Copenhagen. It's the Duke of Wellington. It was Lord Fortinescue's note explains that the hair was taken from Copenhagen's mane, and the lock of hair is going to be auctioned off. I guess the people, the children or whatever. Lady Aran told local media it was an extraordinary find, especially given that this year marks the 200th anniversary of the famous battle. She said, "Now seems like a good time to find the lock of hair, a new home with someone who will cherish it." Hey, that was pretty good for me.
It was a little lower class, not quite upper class. But yeah,
a little cockney.
But we don't know. Maybe she came from lower class at some point. We don't know that. So
the pre-auction estimate of the hair is 3,000 to 5,000 pounds, which for us is like could get up to $10,000.
You know, I thought of right away was cloning. I thought, well, you need some
hair. My God, what a genius idea. Let's clone Copenhagen.
We need a good war horse now, right? I mean,
they're all gone. Yeah, this horse was amazing. So speaking of money, I mean, yeah, get that clone. That's a great idea.
You know, we listened to Reckless. We listened to the book Reckless on the way home on Saturday. And so we had about, it was an 8-hour book. We had an 8-hour drive. So it took us our whole way home. This is the one that, there's two books out. We had the author of the other book on, but this was called, this one's just called Sergeant Reckless. And it was written by Robin Hutton. And she is the one that was responsible for raising all the money for the statue that we talked about. It was so cool. That was down at the Marine base in the outside of Washington, D.C. So, and she's going to be coming on the show on Friday. So she'll be here and talk. Jamie, you have to, I would advise listening to this book. The reader was great. You have to listen to this book or read the book, Sergeant Reckless by this woman, Robin Hutton. Yep. She is terrific. The book was great. She did so much research. And this was one amazing mare. I mean, just amazing mare. The things that horse did in battle are incredible by herself without any help.
And what I found interesting was, because I'd learned so much about what she did during the war, was she covers what happened when the horse came back stateside, and so much happened after that that I didn't know anything about. It was cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. She covered her all the way to her death, so we got to hear all about the her times in the States here, too. It was really neat. It was a really neat book, and this horse had an alcohol problem a little bit, but...
She's a Marine.
Yeah, that's right.
They'll sit around and drink beer.
That's right.
That's great. I'll definitely read it because that's a great compromise because Chad loves to read war stuff and I like to read horse books. So it's like
you're
going to
be doing
combo.
A big drive on Friday. You have Audible, I think. Look for it on Audible. It's there and you can just listen to it on the way. He'll love this book.
Okay.
You both will love this book. He'll love it for the military aspect of all these guys falling in love with a horse, and then you'll love it because of the horse side.
I love it. It'll be the perfect book. Hey, before we get to our guest, just one more. You know, when you go to Craigslist and you look up Arabians, there's a billion, you know, Arabians for sale, Arabian mares for sale. A lot of the time they're like, it's a Polish Arabian. Well, there was an auction, the Pride of Poland Arabian Horse Auction went on last weekend. And there was a 10-year-old mare that was in foal. I won't even give you the names because we don't know the names of these horses. They're all Polish and Pogrom and Papita and Papiza.
Yeah, well, we can't do regular Arab names, let alone Polish Arab names.
Yeah, exactly. There was this mare in foal sold at this auction for 1.4 million pounds.
Whoa.
Or whatever the money in Poland is. But it was apparently impressive enough to like make the national news. This horse sold for an unbelievable amount of money. Is when there's like the C with the two lines through it, is that pounds?
That's euros.
Euros. Yep. Oh my God, even more. 1.4 million euros. Sorry. That's like $2 million for Arabian.
Mary Kitzmiller's there right now. Maybe she bought it.
Well, I think that it's really pretty.
She probably would have posted something if she had.
She might have. 10-year-old mare fetched 1.4 million euros.
Wow, that's a very, very special Arabian Polish horse with an accent.
She's very lovely. I mean, she looks very...
What did they use her for? Was she a racehorse or was she endurance or what?
She's a broodmare. she's in foal. So, but she was a national champion, best in show, all nations cup champion,
so
world reserve champion. So she's a show pony for sure. And her dam was too. So they came from a long line of really pretty Polish Arabians.
Let me guess, it was another kind of Arabian name that bought the horse that we can't say. It was really long.
I don't even know. the thing about this article, bred by Janelle Podlaski Stud, Pepita's new owner has not yet been revealed.
I bet you it comes out of one of the Middle Eastern countries. It's who bought that. It's oil money bought that horse.
Because the second highest priced horse was €625,000. Euros, and that was an 11-year-old daughter of Ghazal Al Shabak from Monogram Palmyra in Folta Vittorio, and her name was Pistoria. I don't even know. I don't even know what I'm reading.
You know, the Arabian thing, back in the 1980s, Arabians were so hot here in the United States. They were selling for ungodly amounts of money.
Yeah.
They really were. And then that whole industry, just the whole floor just dropped out of it. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily the horse world the whole floor dropped out of. It was the Arabian world. It just, you know, it just fell apart. I would love to have somebody on and kind of explain what happened, because it was so hot. I mean, we had a friend that worked the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair, had a farm near there, and she was breeding and selling these babies for $100,000, $200,000. Just incredible amounts of money. And then that just went away.
That's the day two idiots met. Somebody who asks that much and somebody who pays that much.
There you go.
Did the idiots die then? What happened?
I don't know. They must have come to realize that they're idiots and they're broke. Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, I have a friend here that there's a breeder, an Arab breeder here, and they still do all the showing and stuff. And they sell them for a lot of money. Nothing like in the 80s. I mean, yeah, that's crazy. And I also have friends that love Arabians and swear by them, and they are great horses. So we're not bagging on the Arabian. We're just saying, hey, something happened, because they used to be a lot more expensive. But apparently, if you want to buy a really expensive Arabian, you need to go to Poland.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently, it needs a Polish accent to be right.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, let's get to our first guest.
Would you like me to do a Polish accent? Is
no,
that what
that's
you were
fine.
Trying to
no,
suggest?
I think we've had enough accents for one show. We are going to now head off to another accent, actually. Jennifer had a chance to catch up with Dr. Q, but this is part two of the headlines from this year's Equine Science Society Symposium. Say that with an accent.
Dr. Cuban from Performance Horse Nutrition.
Okay, that is nothing like
part
a Polish
two of the headlines from
we
this
just
year.
Lost all our Polish science. Listeners. Now we're going to go.
Society Symposium. How's that? Was that good Polish?
That was terrific. Yes, okay. That was wonderful. All right, let's take a listen to this. And then for our health segment, we're going to come back. We have more show for you. And I just found out that Leslie from Horse Nation is going to join us after a three-week hiatus and tell us all about her travels to Brazil for the test events, and then off to Iceland, I think it was. And then she went somewhere else. She's going to tell us all about her travels and what she saw and found. So we'll be talking to her in a little bit.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products. And welcome back to the show once again, Dr. Tanya Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition. Dr. Cubitt stops by the show every couple of weeks or so to chat about all topics nutrition. And what have you got for us this time?
Jennifer, it's good to be back. Now, a few weeks ago, we started talking about some of the new science that had come out from the Equine Science Society Symposium that was just this year. And I just want to follow up and finish with a few more of the studies that I thought would be interesting or useful to your listeners.
I'm ready.
Now, the first one that I thought would be useful to horse owners, when we estimate body weight, not everybody has the luxury of having a scale to put their horse on, just like we have a scale in our bathroom. And we know that weight tapes, they're okay, but they're not great for every size of horse. And most of our standardized kind of weight tapes or current weight equations, body weight estimate equations that we use now, really are for the medium to lightweight size of horse. Now, and we've had concerns in the industry that there is no way to really estimate the body weight of warm bloods or draft horses. And because warm bloods are becoming more and more popular in our performance horse realm, I thought this was interesting to put this weight equation out there. Now, these equations are really in depth with to the power here and times this and times that. But don't worry, there is an app. Of course, there's always an app.
There's always
that.
An app.
Now, the standard equation that I always recommend, and a lot of us in industry recommend for just a general horse to estimate body weight if you don't have a weight tape, is to put a measuring tape around the horse's girth, and you get a value, and then you times that number by that number again. So it's girth times the length, and the length is the point of the shoulder to the point of the buttock, so kind of the pointy bit that doesn't really stick out on most horses, but it's right beside the tail.
So here's an area of confusion for many people.
Mm-hmm.
When you say the point of the shoulder, if I was to be hovering above the horse in a helicopter and look down at him, he is built like a rectangle. Two short sides, two long sides. When I'm measuring from the point of his shoulder, that's the corner of the long side, not the center of the short side, because that would be the center of his chest. Am I right?
Exactly. Okay. You're correct. Yes. So when you stand on the side of your horse, you're measuring from the point which makes the corner of the long side. You're correct. To, again, the corner of the long side. Now, the original equation, when you took the length of the horse, you actually angled the tape upward towards the point of the buttock. So if you look at a line on the horse, it goes from the point of the shoulder and it angled upward to the point of the buttock. And that value, so we had girth times length divided by 330 would give you an estimated weight for most standard horses in pounds. That value, that's not very good at estimating warm bloods and drafts, though. So now we have this much more in-depth girth by length, by height, by neck, divided by either two different numbers, 1,209 if it's a warm blood, or I think 900 and something if it was a draft horse. And when they took that measurement, they actually did a straight line, because in the body weight calculations, this is also another area that people get very confused, is the length of my horse on an angle or is it parallel? So do I keep my weight, my measuring tape parallel from the point of the shoulder all the way straight back, or do I angle it up to the point of the butt? And this new equation actually goes straight back. But don't worry, this would be a really hard one even for me to put into my calculator. There is a very cool app, which I'll tell you about in a second. But how this group has gone a little further, the original weight equation just gives you a weight, right? The new one will also give you a weight, but then there's another equation which will, it's a not what I call a novel equation for ideal body weight. So just because I get a number doesn't mean that my horse is healthy or unhealthy. So they've correlated the ideal body weight with a body condition score of 5. So again, they've got some numbers and length and height and different values as to whether you're a draft horse or a warm blood, and given you whether your horse is ideal. Now, the thing that helps your clients the most, of course, is the app. Now, it's called the Healthy Horse app, and I think it's available for about $1.99. It was developed by the University of Minnesota. Currently, it doesn't have the draft and warm blood information in it. They're adding that. This was an app that got developed a couple of years ago. And you can actually select on there Arabian, miniature horse, pony, saddle, stock type horse, and it gives you examples there. You put in your measurements, height, girth, body length, neck circumference, and it's got a little picture there so you know exactly where to do your measurements. And then when you calculate, it will give your estimated body weight, an estimated ideal body weight, and then a body weight score, so what percentile your horse sits in. So that's a really cool tool, and we all have our cell phones attached to our hips all the time. So if you just had a piece of string at least and a ruler, you could then give an estimated body weight. And then if you're not sure whether your body condition scoring your horse well, is he too fat, is he too thin? Most of us look at our horses and think that they are okay, but a lot of times they're a little bit heavy. So it will give you a bit of an estimated ideal body weight. Now, if you don't want to go through all those extra measurements and you've just got the girth and the length, you can actually go to thehorse.com, and they have a great little on their website, if you type in the search adult horse calculator, you can put in the girth and the body length, and it will give you the estimated body weight using that older body weight estimation equation. So two really cool tips. Thehorse.com is free. Pay $1.99 for the Healthy Horse app.
Huh. Pretty cool. That's very useful cool. too, because the previously, the, for lack of a better word, body type of the horse really wasn't, you know, a 15-hand ranch bred quarter horse at weight X might not be as in good a condition as a 15-hand appendix quarter horse of the same weight. Yeah, they don't.
I think what we've done is we try to use the body condition scoring system. But interestingly, another group from Europe presented some work showing that body condition scoring horses is very subjective. And even if you, so they took a group of vet students who you would hope that vet students could body condition score horses if they're going to get out and, you know, work in the equine industry. But even training them every day and getting them to body condition score multiple horses, the values in the end were still a little variable. So they've come up with some other values to improve the body condition scoring. But I think for right now, this body weight estimation and adding the ideal body weight kind of takes out of the equation that subjectivity of the person just looking at the horse and thinking, oh, I think he looks good. Or I've had the other, as you mentioned, you know, an appendix versus a thoroughbred. An experience of mine, I went to a boarding stable. The lady had, the barn owner was very familiar with the heavy halter horse type of quarter horse. And one of her new boarders had a thoroughbred. She thought the thoroughbred was emaciated because it wasn't the body type that she was used to. I came and saw that the thoroughbred was in perfect condition, maybe even a little bit fat. But because all horses, as you said, carry their body weight in different places, sometimes it's hard for us to kind of take away our bias.
Yeah, I had that. I had a very similar experience. I boarded one of my event horses at a stable way back in the day as a youth, and the stable owners raised and showed halter horses, quarter horses. Mm-hmm. And a year went by. It was time for me to go back and be a working student over the summer. And my coach had not seen the horse all winter long, and it came back, and she just about fell off her sneakers. She's like, oh my gosh, he looks like a blimp. Well, they had fed him. Well, he needs to be much rounder than that. And yeah, mm-hmm. he had to go on a pretty strict diet when he got there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, the next study, as we talk about body weight, is grazing muzzles. I don't know how many times I recommend grazing muzzles, and some of my clients say, I don't know whether it works. Oh, my horse can't drink through it. He can't eat through it. He doesn't gain weight. He doesn't lose weight. He doesn't keep it on. There are any number of reasons why people argue with me about the grazing muzzle. We realize that obesity is a big problem, and moderating body weight while horses are at pasture, because everybody wants to keep their horses out of pasture. I want to keep my horse out of pasture. That's what they're designed to do. Unfortunately, our horses don't exercise as much as they used to. They're typically a little overweight, and our pasture varieties are improved. So these horses are getting a lot more nutrition out of these pastures. This was an interesting study, again, out of Europe by a woman by the name of Annette Longlin, and she has really been one of the pioneers in a lot of this pasture research. But she wanted to look, she's got some ponies, and she wanted to look at, okay, these ponies live at pasture 24 hours a day, let's just keep them muzzled from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. So she's got them muzzled for 10 hours a day, and then they take the muzzles off between 6 p.m. and 8 a.m. the next morning, and wanted to see, okay, can I decrease body weight, or what happens if the ponies don't wear a muzzle at all? So the ponies that were not muzzled at all any time of the day, just lived out on pasture 24 hours a day, and that's European pasture, gained 0.3% of their body weight daily. That is significant over the course of a year, the course of a couple of months. That's significant. Those that were muzzled only 10 hours a day, they lost 0.04% of body weight. Now, all the horses every day also did a small amount of exercise, but that was the same between the muzzled or not muzzled group. So they lost 0.04% of their body weight daily. Again, that's good. One pony, she did say, though, even though he wore a grazing muzzle, he did continue to gain weight. And that's kind of my when I recommend to clients they put grazing muzzles on their pony. Some may stand in the corner and sulk and not eat at all until you take it off. Others are really crafty and they will find a way. So just watch your own pony and make sure that he's not the one out of five.
It doesn't absolve you of the responsibility of monitoring your pony's weight.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It doesn't absolve you of giving them some more exercise. Now, see, the great thing about being able to keep them out at pasture 24 hours a day versus bringing them into a stall, if you don't want to muzzle them but you have to get them off the grass, is these ponies were able to exercise 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So even though, and that's interesting, that even 24 hours a day they're wandering around, you don't have a grazing muzzle on, you're going to gain 0.3% of your body weight. Perhaps if you're standing in a stall eating grain, you're going to gain even more weight.
Well, and then there's the problem of the ulcer problem, whereas usually with most horses who wear a muzzle eat a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh,
interesting.
So it'd be great if we could all just keep our horse's body weight under control and have lovely warm season grasses that aren't full of sugar. But that's not where we're at right now. So I personally would love to see horses be able to go out if they're able to, with a grazing muzzle on, get the extra exercise, not have the issue with ulcers, and try to live more semi-normal horse life.
There you go. That says it all.
And so the next one that I thought would be of interest is we're commonly asked about choke. And my recourse to choke, and when people say, oh, my horse choked on pellets, or it choked on non-soaked beef pulp or alfalfa cubes, it really doesn't have anything to do with what horses are eating, but more to do with how they're eating. If horses eat fast, they have a much higher tendency to choke. And I always recommend do anything you can to slow them down. One of the things I recommend is to feed hay first. So a group actually looked at, does feeding hay first slow down eating? Now, other groups have looked at rate of passage throughout the digestive tract, but this was actually looking at just the consumption time. So they fed either hay and then either pellets or textured feed. And after 20 minutes of the horses eating the hay, they offered them the pelleted or textured feed. Or they fed a pellet or a textured and then gave them the hay afterwards. And they measured the time that it took to consume the grain concentrate. And greatly, rate of concentrate intake, whether it be pellet or textured, was slower if they fed hay first. I think it just calms the horse down. You know, he's really hungry. He's excited about getting fed. Mm-hmm. But I start to nibble on my hay. My belly feels a little full. Okay, that stress of being hungry has gone down a little bit. So I'm just going to take my time. But interestingly, if you took away the feeding hay and you just looked at, the hay and pellets or textured, if we looked at those two groups, when you fed hay first and then pellets, that was slightly faster than hay, then fed textured. So the type, the form of the concentrate also can change rate of consumption. So textured feed is a little slower to consume. So when people say, oh, my horse chokes on pellets, it's not because they're pellets, but more because they're eating them a lot faster. So it's more about that rate of intake and also time of day. If horses have been stuck in a stall overnight, that first meal of the day, they may be more inclined to eat faster versus a lot of our horses get turned out during the daytime or depending on the season, what your turnout schedule is. But after they've been out at pasture all day and constantly grazing, they usually eat a little slower when they come in because they're not so stressed about having to eat.
Right. They're not, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry. Yeah, especially in the summertime when they've been stuffing themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I did a little anecdotal study with one of my clients up in New England, and they've actually changed their feeding practices because of it. They have horses out in fields and then also some horses in the barn. So they used to feed the horses in the field and feed the horses in the barn, and by the time they got to the barn, horses are all very stressed. So now what they do is they feed the hay to the horses in the barn, then go out, feed all the horses in the field, come back, feed the grain to the horses in the barn. And it seems to be working a lot better for them. The horses are less aggressive. They're not kicking the stall doors as much. All those kind of bad behaviors that we want to avoid.
Yeah, good idea. And it can be inconvenient. It really can, because you know, you have that certain percentage of horses that bang on the buckets and do all that other kind of thing, despite the fact that you've given them their hay first. But we used to have a kind of a 30-minute window. You had to wait 30 minutes after you gave them their morning hay before they were allowed to have grain.
And we seem to see that that is like a typical amount of time that some people wait. So I think that's why they did the 20 minutes to test, because if people do it, about 20 to 30 minutes was a fairly standard amount of time people were waiting.
So, you know, get to work a half an hour late, folks. Go ahead and do it that way.
Or get up at a half an hour earlier. So we've talked about slowing them down and estimating their body weight and putting grazing novels on to keep their weight down. Now we're going to talk about feeding them fat. You've probably seen a shift in performance horse diets to be more high fat, high fiber. And actually some work that was done quite a long time ago at Virginia Tech showed feeding high fat diets to decrease the flight response in horses. And the studies were quite rudimentary. I think they had umbrellas at the end of a laneway and they would scare the horse and measure.
That's highly scientific.
I would not want to be one of those graduate students. But anyway, they definitely showed that the horses that were on the high fat diet versus the high sugar starch diet did have less of a response to the umbrella. But how was that being, what was the kind of underlying mechanism for that happening? So a group actually out of Middle Tennessee State University looked at feeding about a cup and a half to horses per day of oil on top of just a generic strategy. And they measured a whole heap of different things, from heart rate to they had these sensor plates on the horse's feet to see how far they pushed their foot into the ground, and had different, they had a stress response that they did to them, not quite sure what it was. But definitely heart rates were lower in the horses that were fed fat compared to the no-fat added horses. So again, their conclusion was these high-fat diets certainly do decrease that startle reactivity in horses. So if you have a horse that seems to be a little high-strung, definitely and needs calories because it's a performance horse and an exercising horse, definitely adding fat to the diet, replacing those calories from sugars and starches with fat will help with the behavior of the horse. Not only that, but it will help overall with just the health of the horse. But that was interesting. It really just kind of confirmed some stuff that we recommend a lot, but oftentimes we anecdotally recommend a lot of things, but it's nice to see some science behind it eventually.
Cool.
And the last one, we all know riding is really hard work. Some people go to the gym, have these big gym memberships, but the rest of us ride. And we're hoping that we're burning calories while we're riding.
Please.
I know everybody was, you wouldn't believe how many women went to this. We were all like, yes, please. So they measured actually oxygen consumption and calories burned doing different types of riding. And it was done down in the South, so it was actually there. They looked at a simple walk trot canter as their kind of lighter exercise, and then they compared it to their intense exercise. Now, this was done in the South, so it was raining and cutting. It was more Western disciplines, but I definitely think we can extrapolate this to eventing, show jumping kind of things, games, sporting. When they were doing more intense exercise, the reining, cutting, for example, they were burning, reining were burning close to 7 kilocalories per minute. And the cutting was close to 5 kilocalories per minute. And now obviously you do that for multiple minutes, so it's more than 7 calories. Versus if you just did the light exercise, it was closer to 4 calories per minute, kilocalories. Then if they broke it out and just looked at that simple walk, trot, and canter, if you're just walking your horse, I know you might sweat because it's hot, but you're only burning about 2 kilocalories a minute.
Hey.
But if you trot or canter, trotting about 3.5 kilocalories a minute, canter about 7 cows a minute. And they also did it what they called a long trot, which I'm going to assume is like an extended, really moving out trot, maybe what you would do if you're doing a trail ride. Mm-hmm. And those horses also, people, I should say, also burned closer to 7 kilocalories.
So
And when I say kilocalories, when we look on our food labels and we see the word calorie with a capital C, that actually means kilocalorie. So kilocalorie, calorie with a capital C, what we look at, it's the same thing. So
got it.
7 calories a minute if you're cantering.
Okay, so it's the same thing as, so if it says 7 kilocalories, that's the same as if you looked on your box of cereal and it said 7 calories.
Calories, only if it has a capital C, but yes. Small C is a little calorie. Big C is a big calorie or a kilocalorie.
Really?
And you might notice if you look at energy values in horses, if we look at digestible energy, we use megacalories. Horses are huge, so we don't want to write 5 million calories. So we write, 1.6 megacalories.
What's a megacalorie?
Megacalorie is 1,000 kilocalories.
And
a calorie is 1,000, is a kilocalorie is 1,000 little calories. It gets very confusing because somewhere along the lines in human nutrition, we decided not to use kcal and decided to just use calorie with a capital C.
Wow.
We like to confuse things so that people can't understand what we're talking about.
Let's make a note that in one of our future episodes, we're going to talk about calories.
We will, because a lot of people also ask me about digestible energy in horses and why it is not listed on the feed tags. And that's a whole nother segment, but it's very interesting. And we can definitely touch on calories there. Let's talk about it next time.
Yeah, there we go. Well, thanks a lot again, Dr. Cubitt, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, for putting that together.
I'm so confused. Okay, so you said that cantering for an hour burns like a minute, can burn 7 calories. I'm like, what? Now it sounds like it burns 7,000 calories. I'm confused.
I don't think you lose as much weight as you thought you were, is what she was trying to say. That's at least what I got out of it, is that you're going to have to canter a long time. You're going to have to do endurance rides.
That's what it
comes down to.
Forget it. Okay.
Sorry, Jamie. 5 minutes riding in the heat is not going to do it.
It's not enough. I'll ride for 10.
You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. And we are happy to have back with us none other.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
That's right. Leslie is back. No, it's not Monday. You don't have your days wrong, but she was flying somewhere. God knows. She's been everywhere. But I think she's back. Are you back in Tennessee now, Leslie?
I'm back.
Yay. Boy, you had quite a worldwide whirlwind trip.
I feel like I've been to every corner of the earth these past few weeks.
You used up a couple pages on your passport, didn't you?
Yeah. Started out, I went down to the Olympic test event in Rio, a year out from the Olympics. Each time they do sort of have a sort of test run at the venue, and in this case, they ran a CIC 2-star there, just to sort of test out logistics and how the course is riding and, the facilities. So that was quite interesting. That was my first trip to South America at all. So, and it's a whole new world down there.
you wrote an excellent article. We talked about it here in the show, actually. You wrote an excellent article about the dichotomy in the worlds down there between the extremely poor and the rich, and then where this venue was taking place on a military base. You really did a great job of setting the scene for that.
Well, yeah, thank you. It was so striking to me. I could not write about it, but there's the favelas are the slums in Rio, and they're surrounding the venue. The venue itself is part of a military base, but we stayed in the center city, and it was about a 40-minute drive just past just through abject poverty to get there. And, from the cross country course, you can see, right next door, there's just a big cement wall with topped with razor wire separating, the cross country course from just the sort of sad scene. It just looks like a little, cardboard boxes stacked on top of each other that are kind of falling down. One thing that I just never really saw happening to me at while covering an event for Vending Nation, one afternoon they actually evacuated the press center. They evacuated the venue. A woman came in, an official came in the middle of the afternoon. I was just typing up my cross country report, and she said, "We're going to have to ask you guys to leave." And I was like, "Leave?
I'm not done.
The shuttle's not supposed to be here until." When? She's like, "Now." I'm like, "What?" And apparently, my new Brazilian journalist friends explained it to me. The police had shot and killed a major drug trafficker whose name was kind of hilariously. I was like, "Is this real?" He went by the street name Playboy, and so they were afraid that there would be
Playboy is dead.
Playboy is dead. So they're afraid there might be retaliatory gang violence on the street. So they felt like, which they didn't want us to get caught up in, if we waited until later in the day to head home. So they're like, "Okay, put your stuff in your bag. We're putting herded us onto shuttles." And
did you now when you got back to your hotel, did you pour a little out for your homie Playboy?
What?
That's what you do.
That was all too street for me too.
That's what you do when it's from a rap song. When one of your brothers gets gunned down, you got to take your 40 and pour a little out on the ground for your dead homies. That's what you're supposed.
I did not have a 40, but I did drink. I was so stressed out. I did drink two beers out of the mini bar in my room.
That cost you $150.
This calls for some drinking on the job. So, John, I'm going to expense this. I thought I was going to die.
And I'm
going
to pour a little on the ground for Playboy.
Yeah.
Was there security at the hotel?
Yeah, the hotel was, hotel I felt totally safe. Yeah. Elsewhere. But they're like, "Don't go outside the hotel,"
Don't leave.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
don't go outside the hotel.
So the nightlife was limited to the hotel?
Yeah. For me, it was. One night I went out with a couple of, as soon as I got there, I sort of glued myself to the small U.S. contingent. That was there. So one night we went out and had dinner in Copacabana, which was nice. But for the most part,
do they sing that song there? By the way,
oh, yeah, that's the cool thing to sing for sure.
Oh, really? Yeah.
No.
Just us, Glenn.
Just us. So you actually saw the beach then while you were there?
Yes, it was nighttime, but I saw it. Okay. And it was kind of neat. I saw they had the it was the venue for the beach volleyball set up, and so I got to see that. And somebody made like a giant sandcastle, like Olympic kind of logo sandcastle. So that was neat.
How'd the test event go? What do you think it's going to be like, come, other than we're going to be bringing a lot more people in there next year?
Right. I was impressed by the venue. I think the course is beautiful. Pierre Michelet, who did the WEG course in Normandy, is designing the cross country course. And I think what I've seen, it looks like it's just going to be spectacular. Very, spectator friendly. Everybody, all the photographers that go are going to have just beautiful shots. P.S. I saw monkeys on the cross country course.
What? Oh my God. Talk about spook your horse.
That's something that all our horses are used to. That'd be great. The Australian horses will be fine. They'll be good.
Yeah. I was like, no way. At first, I thought they were just mutant squirrels. And then
I've eaten squirrels.
What would your horse do if you came across a monkey?
Yeah.
What was it, Taryn Atkinson from Copper Meadows? We were talking to her, and there were giraffes on the cross-country course in Africa. So, I mean, you know, other countries have it way harder than we do.
A plastic bag scares our horses. Monkeys and giraffes don't scare theirs.
Did you understand? I was approaching fence 7 and this trash bag blew out in front of my horse and I just like, can't even go on. There was a monkey that landed on my head as I went to the picture.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, the monkeys figured out how to get over the razor wire, huh?
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this is the whole thing is on a military base, right?
It is. Yeah.
Is that all the horse sports or just eventing?
It's all that's where they're having all the horse sports. Okay. Yeah. It's where they usually, I guess they have sort of a cavalry unit. And so that's where the military keeps its horses.
Got it.
But it was kind of interesting. You know, you don't go to many events where you've got, you know, you're driving up the road to the event and there are people with machine guns walking up the sidewalk and, you know, the venue itself is guarded by people with machine guns. And it was interesting.
So was this the only test event going on at the time or were there other sports happening?
They had other sports happening. They had, the water sports were going. Remember, there was all the kerfuffle with the sewage in the water.
Oh,
so,
yeah. How'd that go?
Did you say kerfuffle?
Yeah, she did. And I need to look at the last time I heard that was probably 25 years ago, actually.
Oh, yeah, it's a total grandma word.
I love that. I've never heard it. I'm using it.
That's an old, old grandma word. That's great grandma there.
Kerfuffle.
I could tell you live in the South because you do come out with some of these words that were going, I haven't heard that in ages. Jamie's like too young to even know what that one is.
It's an informal British word, a commotion or fuss, especially one caused by conflicting views. There was a kerfuffle over the chairmanship. Kerfuffle, it's a noun. There you go. That's awesome. Carry on.
Yes. Yeah. So there's the kerfuffle about the sewage in the water, which I'm not quite sure how they're going to handle that. We'll see.
Don't be a swimmer or
don't
anything
be a swimmer.
To do with boats. Is how you handle it. Did you see any? Now, you were in Brazil where there's, you know, all of the hot polo players come from Argentina and Brazil down there, right?
Yeah.
So did you see a lot of hot guys while you were walking around, except for Playboy, who was probably looking a little dead?
You know, I had the pleasure of all of the riders in the test event. The test they were all just Brazilians, so that was fun. Mix it up, some Brazilian event riders. Same people. Yep.
Yeah. Goodness gracious.
It was a tough job you've got. Tough
I'll
job.
Send you some photos, Jamie.
Of them in the pool at the hotel. Yeah. So in the water. Leslie, then you headed off from there like that wasn't enough. You went where next?
I went to Iceland.
Well, how'd that happen?
Well, there's this new airline called WOW. And sounds like a hilarious joke.
WOW Airline?
But they have super cheap flights. Like, go to their website. It's wowair.com. I feel like I should be a spokesperson. Clearly they're paying me off to say this. But, we went to Iceland during the peak season and waited until kind of the last minute to get our plane tickets. And we paid like $500 round trip. But they do flights out of DC and Boston, and they're just super. I mean, you can get $220 round trip plane ticket, airfare to Iceland, like if you don't want to go in the peak season. It's crazy. And Iceland is amazing. It was bonkers. Like, I'm still not even entirely sure that it's real. Like, that was my sort of running, you know, like that was sort of my theory going into the thing. It was like, it's just this photoshopped hoax, you know, that's blooded, it's been blooded by the Iceland tourist board, you know, and you get there and it's really just like a bunch of like, I don't know, like painted sets, cardboard set and some like, there's no way. But it really is that beautiful. It's crazy. It's just like the landscape is so dramatic, and there's volcanoes and like ice blue water, and like I don't know. You should look at some, check out some of the pictures I put in this well, story.
Did you get to ride any of the Icelandic horses while you were there?
Duh. I called it my Icelandic horse research trip.
Oh my gosh.
How was that? How are those little ponies?
You can expense that too for yourselves. For going. It's for research. It was so much fun. We went to like the Icelandic horses are a big deal over there. And we went to one of the stables that had something like 300 horses. And they're really ponies, but they call them horses.
They do. I thought they were Icelandic ponies. It's called Icelandic horses.
They are ponies technically, but they will not take kindly to you calling them ponies.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. So we went on a ride out, and I got to Tolt.
Oh, how fast is that?
Like, it's kind of varying speeds, I guess, but, like, so we do, like, little bitty Tolt sometime, we're, you know, trying to get somewhere, or back to the barn, you know, it's raining, and, like, we're just flying along, and it's so smooth. Like, I was just, like, we were tolting along, I'm, like, sitting there, like, taking pictures, and with my phone, and, you know, it was really neat. And we rode out to, like, we're like on, you know, riding out along these hot springs where there's just like water. I mean, just you can hear water boiling like in little holes in the ground, and there's steam coming up, and you're like, what are we, you know, like that's just crazy to imagine there's like magma like down, you know, beneath our horses' feet somewhere that's making that, that's boiling that water. And well, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
How was the? You're from Tennessee, so the food was a little different in Iceland. I would bet. I'm thinking barbecue was probably not on the menu. So how did you make out?
Yeah, they're big into puffin and like a I'm dried serious. Fish? I thought people were dried fish, puffin, whale, shark fin soup is a thing.
And did you survive it?
You starved to death.
We didn't really go to. I was traveling with my best friend who is a vegan actually. So we didn't. We kind of shied away from the exotic seafood offerings, but yeah.
You found
who
the store?
Eats a puffin? They're like the cutest things on the planet.
I just want to squeeze them.
Oh,
if I had seen, if I had seen, like, I actually did not see a puffin in person, which I'm kind of glad, because I was like, if I saw a monkey and a puffin in the same week, like, my head would probably explode, like, just run across in the wild.
She found the one grocery store that had potato chips, and that's what she lived on for a week.
Puffin flavored shark fin potato chips.
But I've got to tell you, the best culinary experience that I had over this past month of all the travels was this past week. This past week, I was at Richland Park Horse Trials in Michigan, near Kalamazoo, Michigan. It is literally in the middle of a cornfield, and at the competitors' party, they like fresh picked corn in the morning from the cross country field, or right next to the cross country field, cooked it, and then had like just had it spread out for everybody with crock pots full of melted butter. So you take an ear of corn, you know, peel back the husk and dunk it in the butter. This was,
oh my gosh,
that now that. That was Midwestern, and that was delicious and kind of gross. It was disgusting-licious.
You know, we're going to run out of time. We had so much to talk to you about. We've been saving up here. I got to get back to WOW Airline really quick, and I really need to know if Peter Graves was flying the plane. I'm just checking, because that's an old reference for anybody who's ever seen Airplane.
I don't know who that is.
If you ever saw the movie Airplane,
okay.
That was Peter Graves that was flying the plane. And that's when you said WOW Vector? Airline, all I pictured was the movie Airplane.
I don't know. He may have been.
They had real pilots, and the seats weren't like duct taped to the floor and stuff.
No, it was pretty hilarious. Like they had the little flight attendants were in these like retro purple outfits, and it was
the planes are purple. What's your vector?
The planes are purple.
The plane.
I was like, this is not real. Like this just plays into my like none of this is.
So you took WOW Airlines to Iceland to ride to ride Icelandic ponies. That whole thing is made up.
I know.
That's a book right there.
Dude, let me just throw this stuff out here. Boston to Amsterdam, $241. Washington to Paris, $227. Are you kidding me?
Did they charge you for the seatbelt? I mean, what?
No, and yet, you know, they do get you on the luggage a little bit. You know, it's like $50 to check it back.
They're all
doing
that.
But yeah, they're all doing that. And still, like, if you can get a round trip ticket to you know, Amsterdam,
Boston,
$30, like, cough up $50 to check your bag, you know.
Boston to Dublin is $199, Boston to Dublin.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to Dublin.
Yeah.
WOW Airlines. I've never heard you. We learned so much with you on the show today. We've learned about our culinary delights, excellent airlines. Mm-hmm. And before we let you go, I got to thank you guys for the article you wrote about. We haven't had a chance to talk about that yet. The article about Horse Radio Network that happened before we went off on vacation. So thank you so much
exciting.
For that.
Yeah, congrats. That's amazing.
It was neat. It was an excellent article. She did a great job writing it, and we'll give Kristen some credit for that. And I got so much response to that, so thank you so much for that.
Yeah, well, congratulations. That's amazing.
Wow, you helped with that. I wanted to thank you, too. I mean, you've been on this show since day one, I think. So you've been a big help and been with us every week, week in and week out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I sure have been.
We appreciate our relationship with Horse Nation. Now, Jamie has a bone to pick with you about a certain article that you just wrote yesterday.
Oh, gosh.
She didn't mention me by name, so I'm fine.
Oh, no, you were mentioned by name. You didn't read it.
Well, I was mentioned by name?
Oh, I believe so.
Leslie, I'm sorry. Our connection is getting bad.
If you go down to the bottom of the article, let me see. It says again.
I didn't think my name was in it.
Oh, you're right. They didn't mention your name. Mm-hmm. They just mentioned horses. No, it is. And we have one special card dedicated to our friend Jamie Jennings from Horses in the Morning, creator of the sheath cleaning song. You have such a legacy, Jamie. You're going to be known forever in the annals of history for the sheath cleaning song.
In the annals of history, you are well known. That's fantastic.
That's okay, a different cleaning.
You need to just drop. You just need to drop mic on that. Like, in that was the worst pun I've ever heard.
That's a different song. She'll do that one next week.
Oh, good Lord. Thanks, Leslie. You know how many people shared that on my Facebook page? Like, oh, look, there you go. You're on Horse Nation again for singing about wieners. It's great.
It's on the internet now. It's forever.
That's right.
It's forever.
Thanks, Leslie. I'll pay you later.
Okay. Have a great week, guys.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
WOW Airlines. Haven't you ever heard of WOW Airlines?
No, but I'm going to Dublin.
I can't believe it's that cheap. That's like, I can't fly. You couldn't fly to Boston for that.
No, you can't. So you have to pay more to get to Boston to actually fly to Dublin. That's crazy, though. I mean, that's so cool.
She got to do that Iceland trip. We talked to somebody. Erin Gilmore was there last year. And we talked to her after she went. And she got to ride. She rode for a week there. And she just loved it. Everybody that goes there absolutely loves it.
Well, it's like there's one airline. There's one airline over in Europe, and the name is, listeners are going to yell it at me right now. But
where you fly super cheap just from European country to European country. And it's basically because you're getting on a cargo jet. Like, right. There's cargo in there and they made some room for some seats. For like, you. Here, come on in. Okay, we can. It's like getting in a city bus, like, yeah. Just cram in the back.
Yeah, do you mind holding this mail? Well, we don't have room Euro here. You have to hold Air. The mail.
Yeah, I think it's like Euro Air or something. I don't know. It was Euro Air. That's what it's called. So it's kind of the same thing. It was so cheap. Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Well, we are going to be coming to you tomorrow. Kim Baker will be with us, and she is going to do a reading for one of Celeste Coulter's horses tomorrow morning, so you can join us for that. And then Friday, Jamie's traveling. She's using her fancy press passes, which Jennifer, I think, posted on our...
She did, yeah.
On our Horses in the Morning page, so you can see them there. She's
my press pass to see nothing.
To see...
That's what it's...
Well, you're going
to
see some horses run. You just won't know any of them.
I know.
Can you bet on the fourth horse in the fourth race $2 to win, please? I always bet on the fourth horse in the fourth race to win. So if you could do that, I'd appreciate
it. If I remember, you have to text me.
And so Dr. Wendy will be filling in on Friday. And of course, it's Really Bad Ads Day. We haven't had really bad ads, I think, for 2 weeks. So go ahead and send your really bad ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad into the email. Send those off today so that you're entered. Remember, everybody entering gets their name put in for the equitymfg.com. Manure fork, the flex and fork. So, and we will be doing that drawing. Wow, we're going to have to do another drawing here soon, Jennifer.
Coming up
next
real
week.
Soon.
Yeah.
Next week.
So we'll do another drawing next week. But if you want to be included in that to win that fork, which we really need a new one now.
I'll throw our name in there too.
Yeah. Could you do that? That'd be great. Yeah. I'm going to have to get on and order some. Our handle is wearing out, Jamie. The head is fine. The handle's wearing out. After 4 or 5 years now. So
that's amazing. It's such a great product.
Yep. We have duct taped it, but you know what happens with duct tape on a handle like that is it starts to peel and then your hand sticks to it. It's gross. So we're going to have to just order a new one.
You're going to have to just pony up the cash, get a new one. It's totally worth it. You know it is.
Yes, I know. And I don't think we're allowed to win. So I guess I'll have to just buy one. Well, that's it for...
Pick a number 1 through 121. Oh, look, I'm going to pick number 42. That's Glenn the Geek. It doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't.
We can't do that.
Can't do it. So you have a great trip this weekend.
Thank you very much. I'll have a lot of fun. It'll be awesome. And I'll keep you guys posted on how much money I win. What?
Sergeant Reckless on the way, okay?
All right. I'll work on it.
All right. Take care, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.
Spay, neuter, gal. Everybody have a good one. I'm going to work on my Polish accent and my Icelandic accent.